If you were a corporation, remember the rules that I told you, the simple rules. If you're a corporation, you can only be one other thing. You could be if you're a corporation, you don't do anything, you're a C corporation. If you elect to be an S corporation, you're an S corporation. But if you didn't qualify to be an S corporation because you had an ineligible shareholder, you stayed a C corporation. On the other hand, if you look at a limited liability company, and a limited liability company can be a disregarded entity, it can be a partnership, it can elect to be a C corporation, it can elect to be an S corporation. But if it doesn't elect anything, the default rule says it's either one of two things. It's a disregarded entity if it has only one owner, or if it has two or more owners, it's a partnership. So a corporation's default classification is a corporation as a C corp, a taxpayer. An LLC's default classification is a pass-through entity, a disregarded entity, or a partnership. And what Jasmine is saying is that because your S-corp election was not valid, you don't fall back as an LLC to being a C-corp taxpayer. You fall back to being the LLC's default classification. And that is depending on if you have one member, it's a disregarded entity. If it's more than one member, it's a partnership for federal tax purposes. That's true under the tax regulations in the check-the-box arena, the check-the-box regs. So that's a good thing, right? So why wouldn't you just choose LLCs? Why be a corporation?
I don't have a good answer.
I think maybe a lot of people do that calculation. I'm not sure a lot of people recognize that because most people don't really recognize when they terminate an S election. So let's talk about where does this whole rage, I mean, there's a lot of LLCs out there, right? So Jasmine, as our CPA, JD, CPA, who is driving this? And there is a trend for LLCs to elect S corp status. Who is driving this, in your estimation?
I mean, I think there's a lot of different reasons it's so popular. I definitely think the main reasons is clients. A lot of times are driving it, so they're showing up saying, you know, I heard from my friend who's not licensed, not a tax professional, but they said that, you know, they paid so much less tax because they were an S corp. I want to do the same thing. I also think, you know, honestly, there's a lot of ads and that type. It's very popular on, like, if you're on social media, seeing all these ads. A lot of them are LLC S corp today, LLC S corp today. It's one of those things that's just very a quick sell because of the very short term employment tax benefit. I think it's a very quantifiable thing to sell, to say, I'm going to save you $30,000 today. And so I think that's been used a lot. That convinces a lot of people to show up and say, I really, really need an S corp.
Well, hold on. Did you just say that on social media there's ads saying that?
It's one of the most popular things to be advertised, absolutely. Like directly to business owners, right? Because you have to realize all of the people in this industry, they're targeting business owners on social media is probably the most common place. Sure, Google ads, all that type of thing, but it pops up a lot. So business owners are showing up feeling like they're already educated a lot of times in an S corp and LLCs before they've talked to legal or tax help.
Well okay.
that's my experience.
So let me repeat the question, and then there's another question. Why would that be the case? Is what? Okay. Let me. Why would you have a tax advantage as an S corporation? And it revolves around the employment taxes. And Jasmine, can you handle that?
Yeah. Okay. So, cool. So yeah. I mean, it's pretty much fully the employment tax piece. So clients show up and they say, I'm going to save so much tax, it's an S corp. And a lot of times they don't even have a concept that the income tax is exactly the same. But it's really fully that self-employment tax piece. So that's Social Security, that's Medicare tax. And as we know, or covered earlier, there's most of that phases out once you get to around $150,000. The Social Security piece phases out and Medicare will continue. So it's on the difference. So if you can say, hey, I have reasonable compensation for my day-to-day work as only $100,000 employed at my own business, and the threshold is approximately $150,000 for the 15.3%, then it's going to be the difference. So it's that 15.3% on the $50,000 difference between the $100,000 of reasonable comp and the $150,000 phase out, which does keep going up every year. So that is essentially your savings. That's the full savings, and that number is often very big. It'll be $15,000, $20,000. So to a lot of smaller business owners, they're like, well, of course I'll do anything to save, you know, $20,000, not realizing that there's so much exposure, there's so many risks, there's so many requirements, there's so many things you have to follow when it comes to being an S-Corp that you can very easily end up in a much worse situation if you exceed your tax basis, which essentially is a nice way of saying you've introduced a extra layer of tax that shouldn't have been there based off of poor tax planning. That's really common. I see that a lot with clients. So certain types of businesses just should probably never be an S-Corp. And then certainly, like we've discussed today, if you're not even eligible to be an S-Corp, you put yourself in a much worse position, potentially reverting to a C-Corp inadvertently.